The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trump, and I'm your host, Katie Trump. Well, those two Monday Night Football games actually shockingly turned out to be very good and very surprising on both ends, really. I mean, so let's start off with the Atlanta Falcons game versus the Buffalo Bills. Atlanta actually dominated this game from start to finish. Their first drive, they drove right down the field, scored 7 points, and never looked back from there. It was one of the craziest things. Bijan Robinson, huge game, had 170 yards on the ground and a touchdown. And it's really cool to, you know, I'm a Texas Longhorns fan, and he played for the Longhorns, so I'm very familiar with how great of a running back he is. And so it's nice to see him have huge games like that and have it actually matter, too, because there are some times where he has a great game and it doesn't matter because they usually end up losing because the Falcons suck. But in this one, the Falcons did not give up. Defensively, they never gave up either. They were able to really contain Josh Allen and the ground attack as well. There were 4 sacks from the Atlanta Falcons defense and 2 interceptions, so they were just all over Josh Allen all night. And the Falcons got the win 24-14 in a surprising turn of events, and now the Buffalo Bills have lost 2 games in a row. So we'll see what happens with them, but you don't want to be losing 2 games in a row, and especially one of them being to the Atlanta Falcons. Then we had the Chicago Bears at the Washington Commanders, and this was another shocking one, too, because the Chicago Bears defense just absolutely dominated Washington in this one. It was not, I mean, the game was close, but you could just tell Chicago was just staying in it. They were forcing turnovers. You know, they had 2 forced fumbles, an interception, and 2 sacks, so they were really just, and even when they weren't sacking the quarterback, they were really making Daniels very uncomfortable, and you could just tell they were just keeping him in it. And the Chicago Bears offense was doing enough to just either get them in field goal position or get them some points. And the Chicago Bears actually ended up walking off this win and getting the win 25-24. Big win for them because I don't know if you remember last year, the Bears actually lost to Washington on a last second crazy Hail Mary play, and that pretty much tanked their entire season. So maybe they'll look at this as the exact opposite. And this time they were able to get the big win and walk it off, and now maybe they'll turn their season around and go on a huge winning streak here. Either way, it was a very very surprising game and very good game from Chicago and Washington. Washington defensively, they looked good in this one. For the most part, Washington's defense has looked very not Dan Quinn-esque, just not as in your face, if you will, just not getting a lot of turnovers. And not really getting a lot of sacks or anything, but this game, they were really actually all over the field. They were actually playing a really good game. It's just the Chicago Bears played a better game. All right, so let's get into the top 10 NFL power rankings for this week, and we do have us another new number one because, like I was saying, we've had so much parity in this season that it has just been awesome to watch, and it's just been crazy because even when I'm making the power rankings, I'm like, Jesus. They change so much, and a bunch of teams get shuffled. Hell, one team's kicked out already, and that would be the Philadelphia Eagles, no longer in the top 10 this week, and I was happy to drop them out. But, I mean, they're on a 2-game losing streak, and not only are they on a 2-game losing streak, they really haven't dominated at all this year. So it was fun to drop them out, but, I mean, that's just kind of what season we're having. So let's get into our new number one this week on my top 10 NFL power rankings. That would be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They are 5-1, and it's just all about that dude, Baker Mayfield. 1,539 passing yards on the season, 12 touchdowns, and only 1 interception. So he's taking care of the ball. He is making the big plays, and he's basically the only guy on offense who's him and Rashad White. They're pretty much the only guys right now who have played in every game so far and have not been injured. I mean, the offensive line has been a rotating offensive line pretty much every single game. And his receivers, he's been down to his like fourth and fifth receivers in the last game. So it's just, it's been crazy. But also this Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense, sneaky, sneaky good. They are really actually what I believe is keeping the offense in this one, because while Baker's having an excellent season, this defense is just making, especially Vita Vea. It's crazy that he has been in the league so long, and it feels like every single year you just hear the name Vita Vea, and he's always in the quarterback's face. It doesn't matter. He's always, every single year, one of the most consistent dudes all around. So Tampa Bay, number one this week. I mean, you never know what's going to happen because this season has just been crazy, but they are number one this week. Then at number two, a team I have climbing high, because I didn't know if I really believed what they were going to do, but they actually are just playing really all-around good football right now. And at number two right now, I have the Pittsburgh Steelers. Overall record of 4-1, and it's just because they are playing really solid football right now. The defense started off kind of slow, but now they are back to that old Pittsburgh Steelers defense. And like I keep saying about Aaron Rodgers, he's not blowing anybody up this year, but he is making all the dudes on the offense much better. He is delivering the ball with precision, as he always has. So, but it's just, he's just making this team much better. I think he's made them believers, and you know, this division, not good at all. So if they just keep on winning and just keep stacking these wins, they should easily walk into the playoffs. So I really like what I'm seeing from the Steelers right now too. They're not getting their asses beat. They're pretty much just staying in most games, and then there's times where they're pulling away. Like, they just seem to be getting better each and every week, and I just kind of feel like this is finally a good Mike Tomlin offense, because we haven't seen Mike Tomlin having a good offense since Ben Roethlisberger. So it's been many years, and so it's nice to see that not only is the defense amazing, but the offense is complementing that defense. Then at number three on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Los Angeles Chargers, overall record of 4-2. The thing about this team is their injuries. There's a lot of talent on this team. I really like what I'm seeing from Herbert. He's got 1,443 passing yards and 10 touchdowns and 4 interceptions on the season. But it's just his offensive line has been decimated. His running backs have been decimated. So it's pretty much just been all Herbert. And Quentin Johnston, they've been having great seasons, but it just kind of feels like those two losses for the Chargers, they probably wouldn't have them if it wasn't for those terrible injuries, but that's just what it is. Their defense, though, is also another sneaky good defense. They really are taking care of business, even through their injuries as well on the defensive side of the ball, and I just really like what I see from this team. And they're still staying in it, but we'll see if those injuries start to affect them here down the line. Then at number four in my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Detroit Lions, overall record of 4-2. The thing about this team that I'm starting to notice is the secondary is getting blown up, and they're not looking really good. They are getting at the quarterback. Hutchinson's having a phenomenal year. They're forcing fumbles, and they're getting sacks, but it's just in the secondary, there are times they are getting blown up, and now they're actually starting to suffer some injuries to these to their cornerbacks and their safeties. So that might be a problem down the line if their offense is unable to really get on the field and start scoring some points like they need to. Because this Detroit Lions team, one thing that's for sure is they definitely need to be in sync on offense. And if their defense is getting blown up and then they come out on the field and can't really get anything going, then it's not going to be a good game for the Detroit Lions. They just aren't that team. They usually are just a team that needs to come out, have a good rhythm the entire game, and just keep on scoring pretty much on every drive. And this last game against the Chiefs, their ground attack couldn't get going, and they just looked like a very, very, they just looked in disarray. They just didn't look like they were ready for that one, really. So, but even so, they're still a good, damn good team. It's just one thing that I'm starting to notice is really the secondary might become an issue here, especially with all the injuries piling up. Then at number five on my top 10 NFL power rankings, a team that has fallen, and that is the Buffalo Bills. They are 4-2 on the season, and it's because they've got a two-game losing streak going right now. They got dominated by the Atlanta Falcons, and that's not a very good team, but they got dominated. They had no shot in that one. And then the previous game against the New England Patriots, I'd say the Patriots pretty much owned that one as well. So they have been, I don't want to say exposed, because their defense is still playing well. Josh Allen's still playing well. It's just kind of, it just kind of feels like they're, I don't know, just they kind of seemed confused in this last game for sure. But I don't know. I feel like they're going to get back on track for sure. But right now, this two-game losing streak has them falling a bit in my power rankings. Then at number six, number six on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Indianapolis Colts at 5-1 on the season. And like I keep saying, it's Jonathan Taylor. He leads the league in rushing, and he's probably going to continue to lead the league in rushing every single week, because when he is healthy, that's pretty much it. It's usually, over the years, it's him and Derrick Henry are the two dudes leading the league in rushing, and if one of them gets injured, then the other guy is who takes over. And right now, Jonathan Taylor just is dominating. 603 yards on the ground with 7 touchdowns. Overall, as an offense, the Colts have 22 touchdowns. So they are just having no issue scoring touchdowns. And then defensively, another sneaky good defense. They're getting at the quarterback. They're not the greatest defense in the world, but they definitely know how to get the job done. And they've been setting their team up in their offense up in good field position. And that's why I think the Colts have so many offensive touchdowns, because they're just getting in good field position. They're just taking advantage of the weaknesses on their opposing defense, and just really able to do it. But like I said, if you just have that workhorse, Jonathan Taylor, just hand it off to him, and he keeps getting those chunk plays too. He's always money when it comes to getting a first down. If it's like second and eight, if you just hand it off to Jonathan Taylor, there's a good chance it's going to be like 3rd and 1, or you're getting a first down. Like, it's that simple. So I'm not really actually shocked at how well the Colts are doing right now on the offensive side of the ball, especially because Taylor's completely healthy right now. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Green Bay Packers, they are 3-1-1 on the season, and Jordan Love is having a great year. He's got 1,259 yards passing, 9 touchdowns, and only 2 interceptions, so he's taking care of the ball. And really just, he's just really reading defense is great. He's really just delivering the pass with precision, and just hitting the mark with all of his receivers. And then, of course, you've got Jacobs in the backfield, who definitely makes his job a little bit easier as well, because the great thing about Jacobs is not only he can run, but he is great in the passing game as well, and he's just shifty. And if you don't tackle him, he is liable to cut off a chunk play for about 30, 40-plus yards, and you won't catch him. So offensively, the Green Bay Packers are looking really good. But defensively, they are not looking as solid as they started off the season. And we'll see that. I mean, I feel like they're still going to be a really good team throughout the way, especially with the way Jordan Love is playing. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Jacksonville Jaguars, overall record of 4-2, and it's just, this defense is killer. Still leading the league in turnovers, 15 turnovers total, just having no issues getting takeaways, having no issues getting at the quarterback. It's the offense. Like I said, the offense still has some work to do. They're not terrible. It's just, I kind of feel like it just feels like, you know, they're that team that just needs to grow each and every week and get a little bit more chemistry with their receivers. And we'll see what happens with them. I still don't know if I'm 100% sold on them. They've had some really good wins this year. But like I said, offensively, there's some shakiness, but defensively, they are really taking care of business, and that's what's really keeping them in the games. The close ones especially is their defense. They are getting turnovers at critical moments, not just getting turnovers, and that's that. They're getting turnovers in, like, the red zone and stopping not only the opposing team from getting 7 points, but they're also stopping them from getting even attempting 3 points. So that's really what you want to see from your defense. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Denver Broncos, overall record of 4-2, and their linebacker, Benito, has 8 sacks on the season, and he leads the league. Yeah, you probably weren't aware of that. You were probably, if I asked, who's leading the league right now in sacks? You'd probably be like Aiden Hutchinson, maybe. Name one of those type of dudes, but no, it's Nick Benito up in Denver. And that's really actually what's most impressive about this team is the defense with Denver is they are really just taking care of business. And offensively, they still have some work to do. They're still very loosey-goosey in certain ways, which causes turnovers or just stalls drives. But defensively, there are no issues with this Denver defense. They are young and hungry. And by the way, Bonito leads in sacks by like a nice margin too. I think the next behind him, I believe, is Hutchinson. And I believe Hutchinson has like 5 or 6. I could be wrong. I didn't write down how many Hutch has. I know he's up there in the top 5, but I'm pretty sure Hutch is second to Bonito. And Bonito is like, boom, way up there with 8 sacks. And he just keeps on getting at the court. Even if he doesn't sack the quarterback, he is making it very difficult for the opposing offense to even really get going. So it's all about this Denver defense. And they're really going to need to keep this Denver defense up because, you know, they play against the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, and then they play against the Chargers with Herbert. So it's you're definitely going to need that style of defense to get at those quarterbacks. And then rounding out the top 10 NFL power rankings this week, I have the Seattle Seahawks, overall record of 4-2. I don't know if I really believe in this team at all. You know, you look at that NFC West, and it's pretty bottlenecked right now with the 49ers, the Seahawks, and the Rams, and you look at all three of them, I kind of think they're very similar, where it's like you don't really believe in any of them. They have their good moments, but then you're like, damn, you have your really shitty moments too. And so it's going to be interesting to see who actually ends up winning this division, because I don't really believe in any one of those teams. And of course, the Cardinals, they're trash right now, at least. So I don't believe in them at all. But the other three, they are all bottlenecked right now. They are all at the just right there in line for the division, but we'll see what happens. But the Seattle defense is really, really damn good, and that's one thing that I think is definitely keeping them in it. And then, of course, you've got Jackson Smith and Jigba, who is having a phenomenal year with 696 receiving yards and 3 touchdowns. So they're really having no issues scoring through the air. And then you've got on the defensive side of the ball, their cornerback, Kobe Bryant. He's got 2 interceptions on the season. And even if he doesn't have interceptions, he is just all over whoever he is guarding. So the Seattle defense, they are really good. I mean, they get at the quarterback, and they make things very uncomfortable for their opposing offenses. And then the Seattle offense, you know, Darnold is having a phenomenal year. He's already won in a couple of shootouts. He's already, you know, scored a bunch of points, but then there's have been a couple of games where he's been pretty bad. So you get what you get with Darnold, but he seems to be fitting right in with Seattle. And right now, I think they're the best team in that division, but it could change next week because you never know. All right, so moving on to Thursday Night Football this week. We have a nice division matchup between the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Cincinnati Bengals. Right now, the Steelers are a 5.5-point favorite. I do think this is going to be a close matchup because now that the Bengals have Joe Flacco, this is going to be his second week starting at quarterback with them. And he really seemed to have got a little bit of chemistry with Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. So I kind of feel like that's going to show a little bit more in this one. But the Steelers just seem like they're ready to win. They really, like I said, they seem to be getting better every single week defensively. No issues so far. They're causing turnovers, and I just kind of feel like Joe Flacco is going to be a guy they're going to have zero issues getting at because he's pretty much the Statue of Liberty back there, even though he's got a fantastic arm and is still a solid quarterback at the age he's at. But I just kind of feel like the Steelers' defense is going to have no issues getting at him. And then the Steelers' offense, I think, is just going to do just enough to make sure they at least get in field goal position or at least score some points on some of these drives. And I just think the Steelers are just a better team. Now, I do expect the Bengals to make it a close game because this is a division matchup, and the Steelers aren't really blowing anybody out of the water. At least so far, they haven't. So I do have the Steelers winning a close one, 24-17. And moving on to the playoffs and baseball, the ALCS and the NLCS, we have both of the away teams up 2-0 right now, and both of them headed home for game 3s, and we'll see what happens here, but so far it's been straight up domination by both Seattle and the Dodgers. So let's start off with the ALCS in game 2, in which Seattle just suffocated Toronto. They got the win 10-3. Naylor, Polanco, and J-Rod all had home runs, and it was just, it's just crazy to see this Mariners team, how they've really, this Blue Jays team has been on fire offensively since basically the All-Star break. That's why they were able to win their division. That's why they were able to really dominate the Yankees, because offensively they were on fire. But right now the Mariners are on fire. Not only are they on fire offensively, but their pitching has been solid as a rock. Their starting pitchers are not giving up any runs. And then when they do, they're able to just remove them at the right time, or they just come back and they're just like, whatever, I let them score one run. I know the offense is going to come back out and do something here. And that is exactly what happened. So we have game three on Wednesday night in Seattle. And right now Seattle's up 2-0 in this series. And I think it's going to be difficult for the Blue Jays to come back. They've got a lot of offense, but I just kind of feel like the Mariners, like I said, they feel like that magic team this year that's just playing really well, and it feels like they're headed to the World Series. But that's why it's a 7-game series. And I mean, Toronto is fully capable of getting back in it. I don't expect it to be a sweep. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be shocked if Toronto takes it tonight, or at least nabs one of these games in Seattle. But they definitely have to nab one of these games in Seattle. But right now, Seattle's playing excellent baseball. Then turning to the NLCS in game one, this was actually quite the battle for quite some time, but the Dodgers ended up walking away with the win 2-1. Blake Snell, and it's just crazy because I knew the Dodgers had a lot of depth at the starting pitching position, and they have so much depth. It's just they have some great pitchers who have had phenomenal years, and it's just injuries have kind of hit him, or they've just kind of gone to the wrong team, and then here they are, and they're pitching out of their mind, and Blake Snell pitched out of his mind in this one. He went 8 innings and had 10 strikeouts, and I got to say about this Dodgers team, what's funny about this year's Dodgers team compared to last year's Dodgers team, last year's Dodgers team did not have depth at the starting pitcher position. As a matter of fact, it was all about the relief pitcher. It was basically like they had a relief pitcher in every couple of innings. As a matter of fact, they barely had any starters throughout their playoff run last year. Instead, this year, they are getting a lot of work out of every single starting pitcher right now. Because wait till I get to game two, because somebody went even further than Snell. And then, of course, in this game one, Freeman basically had the big home run to take the lead, of course. Because, you know, playoff clutch Freddie Freeman, that dude always shows up. Freddie Freeman's probably the most reliable player that in baseball history. I mean, there's probably some others, but it just kind of feels like every time Freddie Freeman comes up to the plate, it doesn't matter if he's injured. It doesn't matter what team he plays for. It doesn't matter. If he just comes up to bat, you better expect that Freddie Freeman's going to do something. And he did in this game. Then in game two, the Dodgers got the win 5-1. And as I said, they got some great pitching out of Yamamoto in this one, who went the entire game. He had not went 9 innings in this one with 7 strikeouts. So, like I said, the Dodgers are a different team this year because of that starting pitching, and that's what I think puts them above. That's why as soon as they got past the Phillies, I was like, there's no way that I see the Mariners or the Brewers even being able to catch up, because the Dodgers are so healthy right now. They have everybody back, and the funny thing is Shohei Ohtani is sucking ass right now. The dude can barely get on base, and it doesn't matter. They're still, the rest of the team is stepping it up, and it, like I said, doesn't matter. Their starting pitching is not letting anybody score. I mean, in both of those games, Milwaukee only scored one run, and yeah. And so right now, Dodgers are up 2-0 in this series. They are headed back to Los Angeles, and they will be playing game three on Thursday. And I gotta say, would not be shocked if the Dodgers sweep this one, simply because Milwaukee has shown no spark. I mean, at first it looked like last night's game might have been promising, because Churio came right out and hit a home run right to start, and was like, okay, cool, we're gonna get something here. And it was close for a minute, but then once it busted open, and it did not look good, and I just don't see the Brewers being able to keep up. Now, I will say, between the Mariners and the Blue Jays, I feel like the Blue Jays would obviously get blown up by the Dodgers. The Mariners do have depth at the starting pitcher position, and they do well on the offensive side of the ball, but just this Dodgers team is too damn good. Too damn good. And like I said, Shohei Ohtani is having a terrible playoff every series so far. I don't even know how many hits he has, but he at one point he was like 1-for-19. So that's what kind of a playoff run Ohtani's having, a terrible one, and it still doesn't matter. Dodgers are up 2-0 right now. All right, moving on to college football and the AP Top 10 this week. We had a few upsets over the weekend. one being because, you know, they're not ranked up in the top 10 this week, but I got to talk about it. My Texas Longhorns kicking the shit out of Oklahoma and knocking them down out of the top 10. So that's fantastic, in my opinion. Oklahoma couldn't even score one touchdown on us, so that was excellent to see. But that neither team is in the top 10. So, but I still had to talk about it because I'm a Longhorns fan, and it was fantastic to see them finally have their best game of the season up against Oklahoma. Hook 'em horns, motherfucker. Hook 'em horns. All right, so let's move on to the top 10 ranked teams. This week at number one still remains Ohio State because they are 6-0 and really haven't had a bad game at all. So they remain at number one. And then at number two, still Miami Hurricanes as well. They're 5-0 on the season. They were taken to the brink by FSU over the weekend, but that's a rivalry game. So, I mean, I'm not shocked that they were taken to the brink, but whatever, they got the win. Then at number three, moving up big this week, moving up four spots is Indiana. They are 6-0 on the season, and the reason why they moved up so big is they got the big win over Oregon last week. And it was a very convincing win, too. It was not Oregon's game, we'll say that for sure. I mean, doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean that they're a terrible team or anything. I'm just saying it looks like Indiana's for real. Then at number four, we have Texas A&M. They are 6-0 on the season. Number five, Ole Miss. They are 6-0 on the season. They will be at number nine, Georgia, this week, so they've got a big one. Then at number six, we have Alabama, 5-1 on the season. They will be playing number 11, Tennessee, this weekend, so they also have another big one. Just got to say, though, about Alabama, you know, it just goes to show just how great Nick Saban was at his job because he hasn't been coaching, what now? Is this year two? I think this is year two. It's two or three where they haven't had Saban as the coach. But this year, Alabama looks pretty damn good. I don't know if I want to pick them for national championship just yet, but they're looking pretty damn good offensively and defensively. And I know they have a different coach and all that jazz, but all that recruiting and all that, you just know Saban's DNA is still running through that Alabama team. Even though he's a couple years removed from it, and you can tell with this ranking here, and still because they have great recruiting there during the Nick Saban era, and you know they got some of these dudes from Saban, and it's just that you could just tell, like, that's what it takes when you build such a great kind of stable, if you will, because with college football, it's real different. It's difficult. To especially this day and age, because now dudes can just leave, and a lot of them aren't sticking around for longer than about a year or two. So you could have somebody at quarterback 1 year, and then have somebody completely different the next year. And so with that, it's just like it's nice to actually see, you know, like this is what it takes when you just keep building and you keep building and you keep building. Even though Saban's gone, Alabama is still damn good, and they are 5-1 on the season. Now, Tennessee's going to take them to the brink, but real talk, Alabama looks pretty good right now. Then at number seven, we have Texas Tech, 6-0 on the season. Can't believe I'm saying that, but they're playing good football right now. Then at number eight, fallen a lot this week, is Oregon. They are 5-1, and that's because of that loss at Indiana against Indiana. Then at number nine, we have Georgia, 5-1 on the season. And like I said, they will be up against number five, Ole Miss, this week. And then rounding out the AP College Football Top 10, we have LSU. They are 5-1 on the season, and they will be at number 17, Vanderbilt. It is crazy. The SEC is just beating up on each other. It is just crazy to watch. You know, you got Vanderbilt ranked. You got LSU ranked. You got the Longhorns ranked. You got Oklahoma ranked. Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss. It's A&M. Like, it is crazy to see that the SEC, like, they're going to beat up on each other. They already are beating up on each other. But that's why Ohio State and Miami got a real nice shot at staying undefeated and just taking the 1 and 2 spots because the SEC is going to be beating up on each other each and every week, especially. Because like I said, I mean, you even have Vanderbilt ranked. And that's not no diss at Vanderbilt. It's just Vanderbilt is not known for being great at football. As a matter of fact, they're more known for being great at baseball. So, but they're ranked this year. And so that just goes to show you how stacked the SEC is. And then you have a team like Alabama where we all thought last year, ha, 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 bye-bye, Alabama. And it's like, oh, no, ha, 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 joke's on us. They're right back here, ranked number six. So yet another SEC team beating up people. All right, y'all, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.